Hi, my name's Helena Tomlin. I'm an artist and I work with all sorts of materials, including video, sound, collage, drawing, painting, and I also make installations. Those are things that you can actually immerse yourself in and wander around in. And today, what I'll be doing is making for you a journal rather than a sketchbook journal, a journal in sound, where I hope to describe the making of the piece of work called Wudge Banquet. I made this piece of work for the University of Manchester for the Centre of Jewish Studies, and it's taken quite a long time, a full 6 months, to make the whole thing. I have my original sketchbook journal in front of me now. It's a square white booklet. It's got lots of writing in, lots of small drawings. It's actually the way I work. There's often more words in the beginning of my sketchbooks than there are drawings. And this first page says my initial discussion with the University of Manchester team. And I'm seeing here the words Jewish identity, encounter, storytelling, art history. And what this meeting was about was to look at how I might approach making a piece of work for the Centre for Jewish Studies that could be shared with many people, students, the general public, school children, anybody who was interested in Jewish culture. And one of the things that came out of this first meeting and is in my notebook is my long discussion with the team about my own position in looking at Jewish culture. And in my notes, I'm talking here about my grandparents who were Jewish, but also I'm talking about the fact that I don't consider myself to be specifically just a Jewish artist. I'm an artist who is interested in Jewish culture, and because of my own personal history, it gives me a particular emotional bond with objects when I see them. They remind me of childhood. And I can see on this first page, I've coloured in orange the name Langhammer, who is my great-great-grandfather. And I remember talking to everybody about the first idea I had about investigating the objects in the 50 objects collection. I'll talk to you in a minute about that. And the idea was that I would look at making a scroll, because my great-grandfather was a wallpaper designer, and I'd been back to Chemnitz in Germany to look at this collection of wallpaper designs, which are actually in the museum. So that was my first idea. But once we started talking about the 50 objects that were in the collection at the John Rylands Library, I realised that I might have to put that idea to one side because I didn't know what I would find there. So in this first meeting, it was a real opportunity to talk about how I work, and I've made lots of pieces that I've collaborated with communities of all sorts, and I like to see what it is that other people are thinking about. And I realised that what we wanted to do as a group was quite simple, and that was to share ideas. And so that actually is why I'm making this particular sound piece, because I want to share the process with you. Just before the meeting had started, and I can see here I've got a note about the list that I'd been given, I was emailed a whole list of 50 objects which are contained mostly at the John Rylands Library. their letters, their manuscripts, their photographs, a lot of stuff which is actually text-based, but some that were not. And I was asked to look at this list, which had just small descriptions of each object, and to come to this first meeting with a possible idea of the thing that I wanted to look at. And for reasons that are very deep, I hit upon a description of a particular scroll called the Esther Scroll. A lot of my work is about storytelling, and I remembered as a child being told something about the story of Purim and the role of Esther. She was a Jewish woman who saved the Jews. And Purim is a celebration of that story. I also saw a description at this very early stage with the list of a marriage contract. And at the time of this commission, at the start of it, my daughter had just got married. So I was very interested in what that might look like. Just over 10 years ago, I'd made a piece of work which had looked at a family album belonging to my grandmother. And this piece summed up my fascination for objects that are sometimes lost or are hidden or boxed up, almost like in an archive. And we all have in our own way our own little family archive if we keep things very carefully. And this piece of work that I made, which was called Corner Works, was like a forensic investigation of all these corners of photographs and the corners of the album. And I blew up digitally very tiny details and coloured them all in and then printed them all out and stuck them all on a wall like a large wallpaper, which was, I suppose, again, thinking about the wallpapers in our family that were part of my history. The next page in the journal after the meeting is all about the Rylands visit that Stefania, the researcher, and I made to the Special Collections Royal Library to get out two objects that I'd chosen to look at: the Ketubah, which was the marriage scroll, and the Esther scroll. And so if you can imagine this, I've got all these ideas about wallpapers, scrolls, what I might make. And I go into the library thinking that when I see and encounter these beautiful objects, what will happen is that my ideas that are swirling around in my head will be, I suppose, populated and maybe changed into something that I hadn't thought about before. What I didn't expect was that the encounter with the objects themselves would completely change my mind about what I would want to make. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to read you the page in the journal that describes our first visit. It's dotted down each border with red blobs, which I think were supposed to indicate something about the excitement that I felt. So, here it is. Arriving at the Rylands Special Collections Room was, as usual, and that's because I've been there before, full of expectation. What would be hiding, awaiting our eyes? The marriage contract, called a ketubah, was there on the table. Persian lions lying in wait at the top, a peacock in blue and gold, and all those beautifully drawn Hebrew letters. Stefania and I talked about the story of the Ketubah, and she made it much clearer for me. The object is not just a number in a collection, but part of the story of the community of Jews in Calcutta, of the bringing together of two families, of the lives of Joshua and Zipora, and that's spelled T-Z-I-P-O-R-A. The objects tell their complete story. After we'd had some coffee and we'd had a chat about the things we'd seen, I decided to write down something more about our conversation. We talked about the way the Talmud, which is the Jewish law, protected women who might be left with little money, and the complexities of inheritance law. And somehow, for me, the Ketubah seemed to be a layered document or artwork. On the one hand, it was a beautiful piece to engage with. It's decorated with birds, flowers and fish. It's full of light and joy. So I would say light-hearted. But alongside this is a dense legal text, which you can see written in Hebrew, which is solemn and serious. And it reminded me that in any religion, celebrations can be a mixture. They can have that dual nature. And I love the way that the Ganges River was highlighted in larger letters. And Stefania was able to tell me which these were, and to translate it for me. And in all ketubahs, in all marriage contracts, I learnt that the place is relevant. It's usually a river or the sea. So I haven't been able to get across to you yet how the atmosphere of the reading room made this encounter particularly special, because it's quite dark in there in one way, because it's full of wood, and there's lots of small lights that are table lights, which you can use to actually see more clearly the objects that you're looking at. So it's very dramatic. It's almost like a small stage, and in that sense, this experience this morning in the special collections room almost felt a bit like almost like a religious experience, because it was quiet. You were directed to a particular place, and the objects were beautifully wrapped up. So it was a bit magical unwrapping them. So getting back to my studio with all this material, all these ideas in my head, I did quite a few drawings of the parts of the Ketubah and the parts of the scroll that I really enjoyed, particularly the fishes, also the lion, and some of the letters and the colours. And I realised that I wanted to sit down and play with ideas, because there and then, my first day back in the studio, I somehow felt that all the stories that had come out of these objects were leading me into a different place from my original idea. It was a gut feeling that they wouldn't fit onto a scroll. It didn't feel that this was the right form to present the ideas that were coming out of my head. So, as I explained at the beginning of this journal, my way of thinking through ideas is often to write about them and to then put them together into a different form, having unravelled in my own mind what all the different stories that are coming into my head, which have been evoked from these objects, mean. And so one of the pages that is, just over the page from my Ryland's visit page, I have, can only be described as, it looks like a series of bows fluttering down and all joined together, and blue and red curling around each other. I have a page called Threads, and for many years I've made work that thinks about this idea of women's work, textiles, making things with threads. So it's not surprising that that word came up to me. And in the first little, if you like, circle of ribbon is the word threads. And then that there's another ribbon leading round to the words marriage, different cultures. And then that curls round to another little circle, which says decoration, a show of wealth. And at the bottom, I put the word ketubah, which is the marriage contract. So at this point, it was making me feel that the story behind that was about creating circles within circles and knitting together feelings, as well as a visual. It was a visual, a piece of work to show that marrying of one family to another. Because Stefania and I had decided that we would look at two objects together to see what I made of not just one thing, but two together, I wrote a few days later about my feelings about the Esther scroll. Now, the Esther scroll was unwrapped, it was rolled back, and it's a beautiful story, which is a bit, I suppose, like a video script. And this video script, the story of Esther, is the story of a woman who, through a lot of courage and through a lot of clever planning, managed to save the Jews from murder. And in the Esther scroll, we see very many depictions of Esther fully dressed up in her beautiful gowns. We see many pictures of places in the palace. And the most important thing for me was that we saw many depictions of domestic, if you like, interior objects, goblets, tablecloths, decorations. And this was because Esther used the banquets that she planned to cleverly outwit the people who had planned the murder of her people. I have a journal entry which is painted with a red margin, which I remembered from the scroll, and I'd photographed it, and it is entitled Esther Scroll. And here I say the following. I say the Esther Scroll can be read at home, and it's interesting that I chose something that was more domestic, and that links to the objects that I've already made work about: tablecloths, little cuffs, handkerchiefs. And then I go on to make some notes about the texture of the scroll. It's not as I had imagined, I'm writing. One of the sides of the scroll is a fleshy side, and the other a hairy side, because it's on animal skin. And I remember at this point, and there's a note here in the sketchbook, that Stefania and I talked about the Italian decoration.
and it's the decoration looks like almost cartoon figures. And that again reminded me of a video script. It's a story that's drawn across the length of this scroll. So it reminded me of video storyboards.
So not surprisingly, I find on the next page of my sketchbook journal a large painted orange circle with the words "a performance" written in the middle of it. And I made the notes that connect this performance to what's going on in my mind about the scroll, which is a story that happens through time. And at this point, I've made another drawing of the borders that I found rather beautiful in this Italian scroll, which is painted in a green and a yellow, and it's tiny yellow flowers. And I wanted to remember that the scroll was filled with Italian decoration, and we talked a lot, Stefania and I, about this dual nature of the scroll. So at one moment it's part of an Italian culture, and at the same time it's part of Jewish culture. So simultaneously it represents both. This notion of a duality to a piece of work is very important for me, and a lot of my previous work has also investigated that idea, how you can be inside and outside something at the same time within an artwork. At this particular point in time, when I was reflecting on my visits to the Rylands and literally playing with ideas every day in the studio, I went along to a most wonderful textile group which had been set up in Manchester to bring women together from different cultures to meet in the pop-up Jewish Museum in the basement of the Central Reference Library. And there we were exploring different ideas around textiles, around making, embroidering particularly in our different cultures. I'd gone to this simply because I love the artifacts, I love the objects that come out of stitching and making. And as a young woman, I also used to make a lot of my own clothes, and I also used to embroider. But what I didn't expect was the impact that this meeting and this making day would have on the project, the 50 Objects project. It was incredibly powerful because I suddenly felt this desire to make something by stitching it. And I have a very large page, because it's got only a few words on it, and it's coloured very intensely. It's almost like a highlighter. I sometimes colour words in my sketchbook to highlight them. And this word is stitching, and I've made some little stitching notes, like hyphens all the way around that word, with the following phrases, which I've already talked to you about feeling outside and feeling inside. And I think what I'm trying to do in this sketchbook page, by the lines I've drawn, is to show that when you stitch a piece of cloth, the needle goes from one side of the fabric to the other. And so you can be on one side or the other, but the cloth is always there. At the same time, as thinking about stitching, I was also considering the concepts that had been milling around in my head. So this sense in the story of Esther that there's fear for her people, that they're going to be murdered, but then the joy of survival, of celebration, the fact that she was able to stop this. And I thought that this would be part of the work that I should be making to somehow try and get across this notion of fear, on the one hand, that a story can have fear in it, but also the celebration of survival. I went through many, many drawings subsequently to think about what would happen, for example, if I made a dress, a piece to wrap myself up in and to play to camera, so I would video myself in a beautiful dress. I suppose that was almost like becoming Esther, to see what would happen. I also thought about making some little puppets. That was something that I've been thinking about with another project, and to film these little puppets in action with little embroidered pieces for their bodies. Another idea I had was to project parts of the scroll onto my own body and to film those projections, almost a restaging of the story, a restaging of history. And the other key concept I had that kept coming up in the pages was linking my work in the present to the past. So responding to the idea of lost laughter, lost celebration, a loss of sharing of food or presents or dancing, that as somebody with a heritage, a Jewish heritage, I often feel quite profoundly, what would my great aunt and great grandmother have been doing in Poland? I have no idea. I just have one or two photographs of them in the most gorgeous outfits. Would they have partied in the way that I imagined? But one of the things that I have talked about in this particular sketchbook about the 50 objects is that my encounter with the Esther scroll enabled me to find a comforting place. I felt that I found those lost people, and those playing almost through the cartoon that I saw. So to sum up, actually, the piece I was going to make would be a rebuilding and a token of survival within the making of it. But what I couldn't get out of my head as I played with all these ideas around the textiles that I've mentioned before, the clothing, the cloths, the handkerchiefs, was that I wanted to make something myself, that I wanted to make something to sew. And I still didn't know quite what form this would take until I dropped in on one of our local charity shops and found a particular group of embroideries. I wasn't actually looking for them. They just happened to be in a large box, a large box that had recently been delivered to the shop. As in many, many charity shops, sometimes people give a large collection of a family's treasures away, and in this box was a whole pile of very colourful but very different embroideries. It was almost as though somebody had been practicing different types of stitching. I found myself making a pile of about 12 of them, which I fell completely in love with. I looked at the fronts, the backs, the edges of them, and they all had one thing in common. They had been hand-stitched. You could see that from the knotting at the back rather than machine stitch. And so I fell for them completely, knowing that probably, most probably, a woman or a few women, I wasn't sure, had made these. It felt with some of them that they'd been made by the same woman, but obviously in a charity shop you have none of those stories, so it's an opportunity to allow the objects to jump out at you and evoke stories in you, because you can't know what stories have come with them. When I got them home, I washed them very, very carefully. I ironed them. I put them all on the floor. And then I did something which was very quick and immediate. I picked out three or four of them, which reminded me instantaneously of the women who I knew about from my own family, who I imagined may have embroidered something like this back in Poland, back in the 20s. I think that's the wonderful thing about an artistic process, is that sometimes you come upon something without plan, and that leads you to another idea completely. And that's what this journal's all been about, really, to try to show you how one thing leads to another. I think I explained at the very beginning of this journal that I've done a lot of work in collage. Now, collage means putting one thing with another, and usually people think of it as cutting out pieces from magazines and sticking things together. But you can see collage in all sorts of different forms. Some sculptors have collaged large pieces of unused furniture together to make an object. And in a textile, you can often find that you have different types of fabric sewn together to create a textured effect. So I wondered what would happen if I used the pattern and the idea of these anonymous embroideries and overlaid that with my own stitch. In other words, I would be putting my stitch in with the original stitch. I've got a note in my sketchbook journal about doing this, which explains better the idea of inside and outside. So I say, collage, it's the art of making something in which various materials are put together, and that's underlined. And at the same time that I'm drawing and writing on this page, I make a note of my idea to bring in some photographs of my own family together with making the embroidery. And I remember at this point I got my large photographic box out, and it has all the very special photographs I keep very carefully of people in our family where we know that they died in they died probably in Auschwitz, but we don't know much about them. And unfortunately, because when you're little, you don't necessarily think about asking the questions of your grandparents, their stories are no longer within the family circle. But they certainly are in my head, all the questions still. So I found the three photographs of two great aunts and my great grandmother. I know their names because their names are on the back, and also there is a family tree that somebody has written up. So the three photographs are of my great aunt Tisha, my great aunt Rusha, and my great great grandmother Helena. Now,
in many of the pieces that I've made up to this time, I've referred to the photograph of Tisha because it's so beautiful, and whoever the photographer was must have enjoyed making the photograph. It's a beautiful thing in itself. But I've never made a piece of work about this woman and her two daughters together. And I felt this was the opportunity with the embroideries to bring them together in a family group, because I have two daughters, and it seemed to be a reflection of my own joy at the idea that they may have had a family banquet together in their house in Łódź, wherever that might have been. Łódź is in Poland. We don't know the facts of their disappearance, but we've all assumed in the family that they were on the last transport from Łódź to Auschwitz. I have been back to Łódź in Poland, but unfortunately we couldn't find out anything more about our family. So the end piece that I have made is a celebration of these three women. I stitched their individual names into the cloths that have been made by these women who I have no idea who they are. They may have been from this country, they may have not been from this country, they may have died quite recently or not. But what I liked about this idea was to say that all our histories can be brought together sometimes, as we discussed, Stefania and I, about the Italian scroll. That scroll is as much as part of Italian history as it is part of Jewish history. And so I wanted this piece to be a piece of artwork that was accessible to everybody. It's part of everybody's history. And the little needle cases I made have each got the photographs of each person. So Tisha's photograph has her little collage photograph embedded in the needle case that goes with the cloth. And once I'd got all the cloths embroidered, I wondered how to display them. And I decided to have them as a group, just pinned over like a hat stand, so that they could drape almost like tablecloths. They weren't originally made as tablecloths. I'm not sure what the original embroideries were. One might have been for a centerpiece for a table, and the others may have been for the backs of chairs. But what I felt was important was to give this sense of celebration and a sense of an event. And so the three of them are at different heights, and they sit together like a little family group. That's about the sum total of my journal. It finishes here, but what it finishes with are some little clouds that I've drawn in pink, blue and white. And in actual fact, there's three of them, and I've put the following together on a page as my last journal entry. Different parts are brought together, and the white cloud says a story through time, and the blue cloud says the joy of the encounter. So I do hope that after you've listened to this, or while you're listening to this, you may have the opportunity to see the piece in full three dimensions. Thank you for listening.